See that some of you finally met each other today. Saw some introducing themselves just now. So this morning I'm going to talk about exactly this. As I said, we started off practically, but we're going to talk about receiving people. You guys that were received now, you're gonna get the opportunity to receive many people as well. Because obviously this is a principle, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning, of Christ and His family. And you know, today you become part of His family, or you've already been part of the family, but today we sort of just did the formal celebrating. You know, and it's actually one of the points of receiving people is to celebrate, because God is very serious about celebration. He gets excited when we celebrate each other. And actually this is something that we continuously must do. Celebrate that what God has given to each other and blessed us with in His fellowship of His family. I spoke 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the vision of Shofar, who was in that sermon. Okay, you guys remember I gave you some homework. I said you must go and look up what is the core values of the church. Okay, now this morning I'm going to look at just quickly the core values. For those of you that did not go and check up, so you can know as well now. Our four core values of the church is passion, people, power, and purpose. Okay, it's a passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of conviction, and purpose to pursue. I'm not going to go into the detail of those now. But this morning we're going to look at our second core value, people to serve. We as Shofar and people in Shofar, we are passionate about people. Okay, God loves people, therefore we love people. And receiving people is such an important part of it. And I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures this morning, and the main scripture probably is in Mark chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. When Jesus comes, you know, he started His earthly ministry, He did many amazing works, miracles all over. Then, you know, He does this whole tour, going from Jerusalem to places, and then He ends up in His hometown, Nazareth. Okay, then the people respond and they say, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sister here with us?" And they took offense at him. Okay, that's very interesting. We're going to come back to that just now. They took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." Because the first thing we're looking at is the Nazareth principle. That's the first thing we're looking at this morning. And it's interesting there that it says that the people took offense with Jesus. Now it's interesting, you know, what did Jesus do wrong? You know, and for some of the new members that were at community this week, where we spoke about offense, will know that the definition for offense, when I get offended, the definition is simply an unmet expectation. Okay, so if I've got an expectation and you disappoint my expectation, that means I'll get offended. So it's a very simple definition. So in other words, these people had an expectation of this prophet, this guy, because there were rumors all around Israel at that time. You know, this prophet of God is doing all these major miracles, and then pitches up this guy. And they weren't expecting him. So they took offense at this guy. But the main principle in what we're looking at here is these people failed to receive Jesus. They failed to recognize who He is. And what they did and what the mistake they made is they looked at this person and they just saw the natural. They just saw, okay, but now we know this guy. Here's his brothers, here's his sister, they're all amongst us, he's a carpenter's son. They purely looked at the natural, but they failed to see the King of Kings. They failed to really see who He is. And unfortunately, and that's our next point, is they missed the reward of the person who was amongst them. Okay, that's the second principle that we're going to look at now. The principle of the reward. And I did share about this a couple of weeks ago as well. But there's a reward in this kingdom. There's a reward for our labors. And God doesn't have a problem with rewards. You know, sometimes because we get confused with the prosperity gospel, we don't like the prosperity gospel, we think God is not into rewarding us, but He is. It's just not a material reward, as we would often think. But the reward is an eternal reward of... Lisa, there's some, I think someone at the door there. Great. So the reward is an eternal reward, but this, in the same way that there's a reward for our labors, there's a reward for us in where we're receiving people. If we receive something, there's a reward that God wants to give us. And there's actually, you know, Jesus actually speaks about this often, and He speaks about, you know, different types of people that if we receive Him, there's a reward attached to it. And the first one is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. It says, "And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Okay, the first one is a disciple. Disciple, someone that's a follower of Christ. If you give a cup, if you manage to successfully receive such a person, you will receive a reward. Luke chapter 9, verse 48. "And said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great." Okay? So he says, a child. If you receive a child, there's a reward. You receive, in fact, Christ if you receive that child. The next one we see in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 and 40. Jesus speaking about the hungry, the poor. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And then verse 40 goes on. And then it says, "And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, you did it to one of the least of these my brothers." In other words, you did it for me. Okay, so here we see there's a reward for receiving what Jesus refers to as the least of these. Okay, so the poor, the lame, the whatever, the weak. If one extends the invitation of hospitality towards these people, then there's a reward. Then Matthew 10 verse 41, "The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who is a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." So in other words, the scripture says, if there's a prophet and you receive this person with the honor due to what he represents, then there's a prophet's reward. The same with the righteous man. If you receive the righteous man, there's a righteous reward that God wants to add on to you. And those of you that have been on missions, you'll be able to testify of this. You know, as you go into places and people really open up their arms and they receive you. I know I share on this often, but you know, when you go to Matthew's, you know, family there in the Congo, you know, you just get off the plane and then some other way they got to pass the officials, and they're on the landing strip welcoming you with flowers, and they're excited and they welcome you in the church again, and it's welcoming all over. But finally, when you step up to the pulpit, it's like God just responds. It's got nothing to do with you as the preacher. God just responds to the fact that they're receiving you. And it's God's reward that they then receive, because you just stand back and you see miracles happen that you've never seen, but there's something, it's a dynamic that has happened that makes God feel welcome. And that is the principle of the reward principle, is when we receive some people, we're actually receiving Christ. In other words, the opposite says, if you fail to receive God's servants or God's sons or children or the least of these, you are failing to receive Christ Himself. And that's why you cannot have relationship with Christ unless you have relationship with His people. That's why a house church movement can never work, because you're failing to receive God Himself, because you're not receiving His people. Now, some of you might recognize the next couple of points I'm going to make from Pastor Fred. He's been sharing a lot about hospitality this year. And some of you may be in training, going to Stellenbosch, or in other aspects, you might have come across the following. But I want to quickly just talk about biblical hospitality, because this is you know, obviously ultimately how we receive people. If we open up our hearts to receive people and to actually make the effort, but it's not just the effort, it's a gift, the ability to welcome and receive people. So I'm quickly going to go through five aspects of biblical hospitality. I'm going to give you all the scriptures there on the slides. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I would like you to if you want to go through these, go write them down, and especially if you know this is your gift. If you know that God has blessed you with the ability to just welcome people. Some of you, I know, you know, you just, it's just so natural to you to receive people into your house. You know, I know for sure this is not my gift. You know, when I invite people, you know, I'm struggling to multitask, and now I must, you know, make the tea, but then I forget to listen to the conversation, and then this happens. So I know I'm not gifted at this, and some of you are, you know, but all must practice hospitality. Did you know that? That's what Scripture says, and we're going to come back to some of the Scriptures around that. But even myself, I must come to a place where I'm exercised in doing this. But especially to those who have the gift, you know, go and study the Scriptures, because God has given you a gift that you must steward. All right? So write down the Scriptures, go and look for yourself, and understand what it means to be biblically activate this gift that God has given you. And the first point is the first part of biblical hospitality is the invitation. That's the logical first step. You know, how can you receive someone if you haven't invited them? I don't know if you've ever gone to a party where you haven't been invited. You just feel something's wrong. Huh? Has it happened to some of you? Okay. You just feel, even if the person, they actually don't mind you being there, they actually want you to be there, but you didn't receive the invitation, then you just feel a bit uneasy. Okay? It's just practical stuff, you know? Invitation. And the first one is, and then obviously we're talking, when we're talking about these things, we're talking in the context of the church. So, often, we're talking about unbelievers here. Inviting the unsaved. And I want to just make it clear, you can read those two scriptures, but the invitation is to a Christ encounter. Okay, not just unbelievers, but every person. When we invite them, there's a Christ encounter that Christ is calling people to, that we must partake in inviting people to. But just an important point that I want to make is, we esteem people because of the value that God has placed on them. Okay? God has died for every person. Jesus died for every person. And therefore, every person is valuable. Okay? No other religious worldview or no other worldly worldview actually has basis for the value of human beings. Okay? If you go and look at any other worldview, a secular humanistic worldview, there's no basis for the value of people. Okay? That's why, you know, some of you that maybe know a bit more about this, social Darwinism, you know, which is actually the logical conclusion of evolution, means that certain people are more valuable because they've evolved more, and other people are less valuable because they've evolved less. Okay? So there's no basis for human value. Human value is a Christian concept. You know, so this is actually one of the ways that you can, you know, approach people, you know, that are unsaved, that don't want to follow Christ, is is you've, the very fact that you've got value, you know, is a Christian idea. Okay? And a lot of times people say, but you don't, you know, especially when we talk about the feministic movements and the gay movements, they say, people will say, but no, you know, you don't value me as a person. But the whole idea of value doesn't fit into their worldview. They're borrowing from a Christian worldview to judge a Christian. Isn't that interesting? Okay, I'm not going to go too deep into that. But what I want to say is, Christ gives people value. That's why we receive people. We don't look in the natural and see in the natural, but we receive people because Christ has placed value on them. And that changes the whole ballgame, because suddenly you look differently at people. Suddenly you see someone and you see Christ in them, and you just want to pull them in because they're so valuable. Okay, so we value people because Christ values them, but at the same time I want to say we don't esteem the values and beliefs of people. So you esteem the person, but not necessarily the things that they believe in. Okay? Because that's what we call tolerance. Okay, I like what Michael Ramsden said. Some of you might have been on the campus. He was here a couple of weeks ago. He spoke about the whole topic of tolerance, because, you know, and you know, politically correct, you must tolerate people, and it's a big word these days in the world, and if you go on a secular campus, you must tolerate everyone. And he just did such an amazing talk. I'll maybe see if I can get hold of it, if some of you want to, or check on the internet, it will probably be there. But he speaks about tolerance, and he says tolerance, you know, because people often accuse Christians, say you're not tolerant. But tolerance is actually a derogatory word. That's what he says. And if you think about it, it's the case. You know, when you say I tolerate that person, you're saying I think I've got a better worldview. I think I know better than that person, every sort of sphere, but I'm going to humbly make the choice to tolerate you. That's tolerance. I don't know if you guys realize that. But the world esteems tolerance. Tolerance is so important. But tolerance is not love. Christians are called not to tolerate people. They're called to love people. Okay. So, I'm spending a lot of time to make this point. But there's an invitation. We invite the person and we seek Christ in who they are. The scriptures there, Luke 14. It says, a man prepared a feast, and then he invited people. Okay? We know the man, who the man is, the master, it's Jesus. He made a feast. He's going to make a feast for us, and he makes the invitation. A lot of these things, it's actually so interesting when you talk about biblical hospitality. Christ illustrates to us. God does these things for us. He prepares a feast, and he invites us to it. Then he says, come to me all who are burdened and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he says, come. There's the invitation. Christ always gives the invitation. Okay? And specifically when we invite people, there's always needs. You know, and Christ wants to meet these needs. Okay? Therefore, the invitation. Second point is preparation. Pastor Fred calls it the space encounter. Jesus says, John 14, verse 2 to 3, he says, I go to prepare a room in my Father's house. And once again, we see something that Jesus, God, the Father himself is doing. You know, he's not just saying we must practice hospitality. He says, I'm doing it as an example for you to do it. Also in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, he says, no eye has seen, no ears heard what God has prepared. Okay, God has gone and he's prepared a place. You know, that's why the things that we do here in church, you know, the photos and the, you know, getting the place nice and ready and prepared, it's not just to make the place look nice. It's to say that we care about you coming in. We care about the person that is not a believer. We've actually gone and made the effort to make this person feel welcome. Okay? Preparation the space encounter. Jesus, God also says in Psalm 23, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God doing that preparation. Then the third point is reception. And this is the human encounter. Okay, this is largely what we're speaking about this morning. Romans 15 verse 7 says, in the Amplified Version, says, welcome and receive to your hearts one another, then even as Christ has welcomed and received you for the glory of God. Because it says that there's an art of where you open up your heart to someone, okay, to receive them. Because you can actually go up to someone and welcome them, but not receive them in your hearts. It's a decision that you make. Okay, when I'm going to this person, I'm actually going to open up my heart towards them and welcome them in. Okay, you guys see the difference? Okay, there's a heart decision that you must make. Then, Revelation 3 verse 20, look, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and I will share a meal together as friends. That's in the New Living Translation. But often you see God preparing a meal for people. We're going to look at a scripture just now as Jesus prepares a meal for his disciples before he shares with them. Right after the cross. We're going to read that just now. But even Moses and the 70 elders, before they received the 10 commandments, it says there, some of you might have not noticed this, but it says that God prepared a place for them to eat, and the elders, 70 elders and Moses, sat together in the presence of God and they ate with God. A feast that God had prepared for them. And then Luke chapter 7, that one's on the screen. It says where Jesus is in the house of Simon, and Mary comes and she sits at his feet, and then she pours the oil and she washes his feet with her hair. Okay, you guys remember that? Now look at what Jesus says here. He says, this woman. And remember that the people were upset that she did it, and then they said, you know, but she should have sold it to the poor. But Jesus said, this woman did something right. She received me. Okay, but look at what he says to Simon. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I have entered your house. Okay, so Simon opened up the door of his house. Okay, and he sat with Jesus. Then he says, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Okay, now those three things that you've seen, saw there that was highlighted, those were cultural hospitality things that woman did. So, in fact, what Jesus is saying is he really appreciates this woman that has actually done the effort, because Simon, you didn't do these things. You were supposed to do these things according to Hebrew culture in receiving me, and now this woman has done this. You know, so I'm actually upset with you because you failed to receive me. Do you guys see that? Okay, so there's a place where there's once again that reward when we receive Christ or when we receive people. The fourth one, and which we did today, is celebration. It's the value encounter. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to 42. You can go and read them. But celebration excites the heart of God. Not only do we receive people, but we celebrate them as gifts. Because that's what they are. It's a gift that every person brings. Therefore, we celebrate. We celebrate them. Everyone has a gift and brings the reward from God. And we can actually fail to receive those. if we fail to receive the people. Then the final point is the presentation, that we call the heart encounter. And that's really where you present Christ, or you present the truth. In all five areas, you present Christ, of course. You represent the love of Christ to the person. But the fifth point is the presentation. That's the point, you know, and if I can just bring this to the context of where we're reaching out, this is what many times we've done wrong as Christians to the world. And that's why the world is sometimes offended with Christians, because we've simply just failed to receive people. So what we would do in the past, we'd go on the streets and we'd read the Bible and say, "You must repent." You know? And of course that is the truth. Jesus everywhere went saying, "You must repent." And unfortunately some of the church have now gone back and they said, "But no, you don't have to repent." Now they compromise on the truth. But the actual problem is, the repentance is the truth, but we've just failed to receive people. Okay, so right at the start, we'd go and we'd bash people and we'd say, "Okay, but, you know, this is the word." We Bible bash people. But we've neglected the first four steps. We didn't invite the people, we didn't prepare them, a place for them, we didn't receive them, and we didn't celebrate them. Only if you celebrate, and sometimes that is the biggest encounter, when someone is maybe celebrated for the first time in their lives. And that is already, you don't even need to share the truth, but the very fact that you celebrate them changes their whole being, because no one has ever celebrated them. No one has ever considered them to be valuable in this life. Because that's not the worldview of this world. But we as Christians have the privilege of going in and really seeing people. I was going to share this a bit later, but I remember when I was a small group leader, we had this custom. Whenever someone comes into small group, we would sit them down in the middle and pray for them. And you know what was amazing about that? Not just the fact that we take out the time to focus on that person, but when we prayed for that person, right from the start, we immediately looked different at the person. We no longer saw them in the natural, but we saw them as Christ saw them. So from then on, we would see them and celebrate this person as God celebrates this person. And maybe not, you know, some of the people that we received weren't, you know, maybe these presentable or most fluent, or maybe they didn't fit a picture of something that we would maybe like. But we saw them now through Christ's eyes, and we could celebrate them. And from the very start, we could receive them and welcome them. And then that's where it really gets exciting. When we receive people in such a way, God comes in, He transforms and He changes someone. And then they become exactly what you see in them. They become what God sees in them. So we're talking here about the fifth point, and that's to present the truth, or to present Christ. Okay, and that happens on three levels. And the first one is a joy presentation. You know, the joy that God has given us, that joy that is from our inner being. I shared a couple of weeks ago that, you know, that God doesn't give us happiness, or happiness comes from a happening, but God gives us joy, which is not from a happening. It doesn't depend on the circumstances. It's something that's inside of us. And that joy inside of us is attractive to people. Okay, when we present that joy, people will say, you know, "I want what you've got." That's actually what changed my life, because when I came to Christ, I saw people that had joy. They had life. And I said to myself, "I don't have that. I want that." And that changed me. A presentation of joy. Then the second one is when we engage people's hearts. You can go and read the scriptures there. And then finally, to engage people's minds. Sometimes when we present Christ, we must present Him on an intellectual level to be able to reach the person. Psalm 23 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup flows over." Sometimes people need to be engaged on that level in terms of our minds to receive Christ. So those are the five principles. You can go and read them, study them. Coming back to receiving people, Romans 12 verse 13, I mentioned earlier, it says practice. The Bible encourages us to practice hospitality. Romans 12 verse 13 says pursuing hospitality. Hebrews 13 verse 2 says, do not be forgetful of hospitality, for by some have entertained angels without knowing it. How exciting is that? If we really get this right, God at some situations, not always, but sometimes He'll send an angel. And then you'll actually receive an angel. But we must practice hospitality. And then the final scripture before we pray this morning, James chapter 2 verse 5. He says, listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to those who love Him? And so James is talking about when someone comes into the church and they look presentable, or when there's someone that does not look presentable, how are you going to receive them? Okay, now the emphasis here is not about rich versus poor, or it's not even about mercy ministry or caring for the poor. The emphasis here of what James is saying is he's judging carnality. He's judging looking at someone and just seeing the natural. You know, and I always, you know, think of Christ when I think about this. Would you, if you saw Christ, know who He is? And in the natural, no, you wouldn't. The Bible, Isaiah actually says that He was not very pleasant to look upon. That's the exact words that it says. So if you looked at Christ, you wouldn't have seen Him. You would have seen someone that is in our worldly standards not someone to recognize. In no way, in fact, in no apparent way, would you be able to recognize Him on His physical appearance. That's what I'm saying. When we do these things, you must look through God's eyes. And this starts by praying for people. If you're in a small group, you must pray for the people in your small group. If there's a new visitor, you must pray for him so that you can immediately stop yourself from looking in the natural, but see that person as God sees them. Because that's simply what happens when we pray for people. Prayer actually changes us. It doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. As we pray, we see as God sees. There was once a guy that did a crusade. I forgot his name, but this is a well-known story. He did this massive crusade. And then this guy was used to doing crusades, and a lot of people would respond and come to salvation, and miracles would happen. But this one time he did a crusade, and just one person got saved. It was a young boy. And he thought to himself, no, but this was a complete failure. He missed God. He's done everything wrong. But guess what? That boy's name is Billy Graham. So in our eyes, that might seem like a failure. But in God's eyes, you know, Billy Graham led millions of people to the Lord. Through God's perspective, it's not. So sometimes, you know, we must not look through what we see, but through what God sees. So I want us all to quickly stand. If the band can come up, please. What I want us to do is we're actually going to pray together this morning. Because I believe that God wants to actually deliver us this morning. As individuals, but as a group. God wants to deliver us from that Nazareth culture. And then even this morning, you could come into this place and you can look around and think, okay, but there's so many empty chairs. But you know what? I look at this place and I don't see empty chairs. I see people that can change the world. I see people that have the ability and the potential to change places that they go into and the spheres where they influence. So you can either look at the natural, or you can see something as God sees. And we're going to pray together. We're going to ask God to change our hearts. And then we're going to ask God as a church to deliver us of a Nazareth culture. When we come and we look and we see, okay, but there's just a couple of people like this, and there's, you know, we're missing some people like this, and we actually need this to change the world. But you know what? God is not confused. Every person that is here is exactly what we need in this church for this time. God is not confused. He sent us everyone. He sent us gifts. And we must come to a place where we call out the gifts in each other. That we see the gifts in each other and begin to speak it to each other. You know? Begin to say to each other, no, but you are, I see this in you. This is amazing. To call the gold out of people. Because that's what it means. That's what it means to receive people. That's what it means to, you know, to open up yourself to a place where you receive Christ. Because that is the real miracle here. The real miracle is the fact that when we receive others, we're receiving Christ into our midst. So that's what I'm going to say this morning. That God wants to deliver us of a Nazareth culture. Because as long as this Nazareth culture is here, we're failing to receive Christ. And even if it's just a little bit, even if you do receive people and you do see people, but it's just a little bit of, you know, I'm looking at the natural or looking in terms of the flesh. So I'm going to ask us all to turn to each other and to pray in groups of three or four. But before I want to do that, I want to specifically ask you, if you believe, or maybe if you don't even believe, but people have said to you that you've got the gift of hospitality, or you know someone told you, or you just realize it this morning when we spoke, you realized, you know, this is how God has made me. He's given me a gift of hospitality. Then I want you to come to the front because I want to actually pray together with you. You know what? God has given us people with this gift. And every small group, you know, must give a place to the person with the gift of hospitality. So that we can come to a place. Because the gift of hospitality person is simply this, is to make sure that people continuously see people. Continuously help people to focus and to see who God sees in them. So can I ask us to quickly turn in groups of four. And let's pray for ourselves. Let's bring our hearts before God. And then let's pray for this God to deliver us from such a culture.